E3 was this week, which means games for 2017 were announced and games from 2015 were given release dates set, and Microsoft is now moving past generations and your wallet. Tonight is June 19th, 2016, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bobby? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O'Kay says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash. Later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwell.
It is a great time to be a gamer. That's the first thing I have to say. Who won? We won. All the gamers, we all won this week. It's a great time to be a gamer. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a post-E3 edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminiscing about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com, welcome. Head on over to our chat room full of winners. It's over at live.vognetwork.com. That's right. We are all winners. You can join us there. I will be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. Or if you're on the site, you can check in just like Misty and SSJ100 Matt. They checked in at some point during the intro to the show and got some points on the leaderboard. If you're listening on the podcast feed somewhere, you will have a passphrase echoed. And you come into the site and you put that on there. And you can actually still put last week's up here, too, because last week's episode went up pretty late, and this one may come pretty quickly after. So you can actually also put last episodes in while this episode is the latest on the feed. And so participate with us. Come visit the site. A little bit later on, I haven't done this for a couple weeks. I actually am going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. Skype line is Bobby Blackwell Show, that is all one word, or toll-free in North America, 1-888-36-GAME-1, or you can leave a comment in the episode page over at VogNetwork.com. TechLaw says the winners are those who are in the VOG chat, the losers are the ones that are not here. No. The views expressed by TigerClaw are not necessarily the views of the Voice of Geeks Network. We are all winners. If you are listening on the podcast and not, you are a winner. If you're listening to the live feed and not in chat because you want to stay away from me, you're still a winner. E3, I didn't go this year. This would have been my 17th E3 attending, but I saw just about as much here at home. Like, if I was there, I still wouldn't have been able to play The Legend of Zelda. I still would not have been able to play it, even if I was there, because it was like a four-hour line for a 90-minute... Like, that kills an entire day. And when I do go, I have appointments, but Nintendo was not even giving every media outlet, which they can't give every media outlet an appointment, but they weren't giving every media outlet an appointment, so there are entire media outlets that had no coverage of the most talked-about game of the show. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about Legend of Zelda. It looked great from what I saw. Now, I do kind of want to mention something, because a lot of people were like, finally, The Legend of Zelda is now an open-world game. Yes, this new Legend of Zelda is an open-world game, but guess what was also an open-world game? The very first Legend of Zelda in 1985. That was like the first open-world game. So it's not just now becoming an open world. It always was an open world game. It's just now it's in the open world sense of the Skyrim open world and the Elder Scrolls open world. Dungeon Buster says, I am correct, but it is not the original Legend of Zelda was not the first open world game. I'm sure that there's a Commodore 64 game I'm forgetting about, or I mean, unless you're talking about Ultima maybe being the first one. So I will walk back that comment because I'm sure that there's something out there that I'm missing in terms of the open. But anyway, the first Legend of Zelda was an open world game. It was the first console AAA, and then you're going to, Ultima was a AAA game. Yeah, okay. So Dungeon Buster wins. He's a good person. He sent me a good version of the Impossible Mission on Twitter. And I stayed a while, and I stayed forever because it's hard. So, yeah, so it looked great. They're doing a lot with it, and I think, like something said, that, it was held back because of the physics engine and all that stuff. So the little bit I saw of it looked good. Now, the problem is I didn't get to see all that much because I did not really sit on Twitch, on Nintendo's Twitch feed for 2 days to see everything, which is kind of what they wanted you to do. So I didn't really, I saw like some of the intro and some of the first parts that they were showing. But I didn't stick around for 2 whole days to see everything. But it still looked looked cool to me. I will definitely give it a shot either on the Wii U or on whatever their next console is whenever we learn more about it. I'm looking forward to seeing more. I kind of wish they were showing more or talking about more. I mean, they talk about some Pokemon stuff, but still no F-Zero. I'm going to talk about some of the stuff that was announced at E3 and some of the stuff that was talked about and kind of give my take on it. And then, probably, hopefully ending soon enough to be able to take calls for much longer than I have for the past couple weeks, because I know that a lot of people have different opinions than I do. In fact, when I brought up E3 at work, one of my coworkers immediately went into a tirade about how the game industry sucks, how everything's terrible. And he spent like 10 minutes. And when I actually brought up, I was trying to bring up like positive stuff. He's like, what positive stuff came out of E3 this week? And I'm like, okay. So there was also some negative, but and the first thing I'm going to talk about is kind of like a negative, but we all kind of knew it was coming. I want to talk about like the new consoles, and especially how Microsoft is basically saying, we're moving past generations. I think was the quote that they used with Project Scorpio, which is obviously not going to be the final name. Remember, Kinect was called Project Natal. So it's going to be out next holiday season is the new Xbox One. It's going to be more powerful than the current Xbox One and even the Xbox One S that they also launched, which is a little bit more powerful than the current Xbox Ones, which they did the same thing to the 360s on those, to be fair. They said it's going to be delivering 4K gaming, and they mentioned that it was going to be for VR, but they didn't especially say what VR they're going to be using or if they're making their own. Everybody's getting into the VR game. I know that people are like, obviously it's going to be Oculus because Microsoft partners with them on the controller, but also you got to realize they're pretty chummy with the Vive too, so we don't know which or they could make their own, but we don't know which vendor they're going to go with. On that. The other thing about Xbox, the Xbox Live network that I kind of wanted to ask, and I couldn't find a really good answer for this, but maybe I just didn't look hard enough. They announced Xbox Anywhere, which is actually why several people that I know got rid of their Xbox Ones, because they're like, well, I have a Windows 10 PC, and we know that they want to turn every Windows 10 PC into Xbox One, and they kind of did that with Xbox Anywhere. And they started it with Quantum Break, and that's where people were starting to jump off the Xbox One hype train. And they now actually, a lot of their, in their press conference, a lot of the games that they showed were Xbox Anywhere. You buy it on one, and you can play it on both, on your Windows 10 PC or on your Xbox One. And the question that I have about how that works is, obviously it makes sense if you buy a game digitally, but if you're like me, I still buy games on disc, okay? And I know that's like such a 2000s thing to do, and we're in 2016, but hear me out. And even though I know that my argument doesn't mean anything anymore because of recent news, but these games on Xbox One and PS4 can be upwards of 40 gigs or 50 gigs. And yes, I can buy them digitally and download all that off through the internet. Or I could buy the disc, install the 40 to 50 gigs from the data on the disc, and then, download the 5-gig patch or whatever and only have to worry about downloading 5 gigs. And the reason I do that is because of bandwidth caps. I do have a bandwidth cap because I am with Comcast and I have no choice in the matter. But they did raise the bandwidth cap, so I don't have as much of an argument as I used to. It used to be a 250-gig data cap. And that's uploads, downloads, and, all streaming. And I work from home, and so I use bandwidth for work because we do a lot of video conferencing and things like that. So I buy discs so I don't contribute to the bandwidth cap. So that's why I buy them. And I know that that's like so old-fashioned nowadays, where you can just why not just buy it online and you download it and everything's hunky-dory. If you need more space, just buy another hard drive. That's not what I'm asking. So what if I buy, let's say, Forza Horizon 3, which I am going to get day one. I am a Forza Horizon fanboy. I'm make no apologies about it. I'm not going to review it because I'm a fanboy, so I'm not going to give you a letter grade on it or anything. But if, when I buy Forza Horizon 3, it's going to be the disc version. And I'm going to put that disc in my Xbox One. It's going to install the main the game as it went gold. And then I'll probably have to download a 1 or 2 gig patch, day one patch, to that comes with when I get the game. And that's fine. But it's an Xbox Anywhere game. And I have a Windows 10 PC. And my Windows 10 PC, because it is a pre-built PC, because I needed it pretty quickly for other things, for doing the VR stuff, it has a DVD drive in it. And it's not a standard DVD drive, so it's not like I can buy a Blu-ray drive and just replace it. And Xbox One games are on Blu-ray discs. So how do I play that Xbox Anywhere game on my Windows 10 PC? That's a question that I have, and I mean, I don't know if that I don't know if it's even possible, because I don't want to go out and buy an external Blu-ray player and try to hook it up over USB and see if that works. But I mean, do you have to buy digitally? Do you have to not buy at the Evil G or at Best Buy or anything like that at all? Like, does this cut out the retailer? If you want to have Xbox Anywhere, you have to buy through their store. Is this another way of cutting out the retailer? Brad from Pop Culture asks, the tower will not take a second drive. No, this is a very stylized looking tower. Like, there is no, there's no extra slots for anything. And I bought this tower, this computer, basically to be a console. So if I was building my own, if this was going to be my main machine, yeah, I would have a I've got a Blu-ray burner in my current machine. It's just not in this specific machine because it's a very specific configuration. Tiger Claw thinks that they're going to come up with some sort of redeem code that you enter into the Windows 10 store. But, well, and see, here's the thing about that, right? Okay, so they're not going to do that. I will tell you exactly why they're not going to do that. Because I can go buy a game from GameStop, take that code, redeem it on the Windows 10 store, immediately take that game back, and immediately get a return it. And then I've got a free game on the Windows 10 store. Because the entire point of their quote-unquote DRM is, well, I shouldn't say quote-unquote, it actually is their DRM, for Xbox One, is you have to have the disc in the drive. Even if it's installed to your hard drive, you have to have the disc in the drive for it to know that you actually own the game. Unless you buy it digitally, then you have the digital receipt. But if I bought it physically, they're not going to give me a free digital receipt for Windows 10, because then I could just buy the Xbox One game, redeem it on Windows 10, and then take the Xbox One game back, and then they're not going to know. I don't think there's going to be a redeem code, because I've already thought of a way to get around that and get a lot of free games. And if I thought about it that quickly, you know that the people at Microsoft thought about that already. So that's my question about Xbox Anywhere. Obviously, for like smaller digital titles, like for indie titles and stuff that you already buy digitally, it's going to be great. And you can just buy a beefy Windows 10 PC and get the PC games and the Xbox One games and not even buy an Xbox One. And Brad says, well, maybe it's the same as 360 backwards compatibility. I'm more asking, like, if somebody doesn't have a Blu-ray drive. Like, is that a requirement, and can it be an external? And that's kind of where I was wondering about that. Fluke says, I bet it'll be account-based. My Windows 10 login is the same as the Xbox login. When I upgraded to Windows 10, it automatically had all my Xbox details and Windows under the Xbox. Yeah, I have that. And I actually had to turn that off because people kept sending me Xbox messages while my computer was on. So I turned off the Xbox app. But, like, that's great for digital purchases. I'm more worrying about, like, the physical purchases if I now have to buy a Blu-ray drive external and plug it into the machine just to be able to run Xbox Anywhere games. It's an open-ended question. Nobody thought, either nobody asked it at E3 or they didn't answer the question, which is also very likely, because last time I tried to get Microsoft to answer some really simple hardware questions at E3, they told me my site was not big enough and they weren't going to give me the time of day. So that's all that. SJ1er Matt also said, Microsoft announced being able to use background music, but digging deeper, it seems like you might only be using music from the Microsoft Groove app, which is their version of Spotify, which is a paid subscription and Windows 10 exclusive. I don't think that's confirmed yet. I heard about that. And this is the thing about that is, like, it's going to be kind of like the PS4 background music that the PS4 can do. And here's how it's different and how I don't like it as much. It's different in the sense that it basically will just play. And one of the neatest things on, I think it was the original Xbox did this. And the Xbox 360 did this as well, I believe. But the original Xbox, one of the first things that they did was in Project Gotham Racing with using your own music and using custom soundtracks. In Project Gotham Racing, you could upload your MP3s to the original Xbox. And then, or not upload it, you had to, like, put the CD in the drive, and then it ripped the CDs. Back in the day when we bought CDs. And you could go into Project Gotham Racing and say, these are my songs that I want. And Project Gotham Racing would then put those songs in the radio station. And when I mean that, I mean they would actually have their DJ play in between the songs. So it actually integrated your soundtrack into the game. Whereas on PS4, and I'm assuming on Xbox One, when they say background music, you know, using your own background music, it literally is just going to play that app straight in the background. And it's not going to be integrated into the game. And I know SJ100 Matt, he plays, you know, a lot of the EA Sports games, and I did too. And that was one of the things you could do with the custom soundtracks is you could actually customize the arena music. And so, or the stadium music, depending on which game you were playing. And it would actually play your own songs with the right reverb as if you were in the game. Or as if they were being played in the stadium. Whereas now it's just like, okay, you can just like tell an album to play and then it just plays in the background. And that doesn't excite me as much as the game actually integrating your soundtrack into what gets played. And SJ100 Matt says, I was really excited about having background music, but that opens the door to games allowing custom soundtracks in games. And that's what I'm saying is that it's not actually allowing custom soundtracks in games. All it's doing is it's going to run this app in the background that plays music at the same time it plays your game audio. And you have to go, like, that's how the Spotify app works on the PS4. You can't use Spotify to create custom soundtracks. It just, because the game doesn't know it exists. You actually have to go into the game and turn down the music volume in the game settings for it to work well. Tireclaw says, I like custom soundtracks when it's appropriate to certain games. It just sounds out of place when you're playing fantasy games that rely on orchestral music. You know what? It's up to the person playing. I am not going to tell somebody else they can't listen to heavy metal when they're playing a sweeping orchestral fantasy RPG. If that's what they want to listen to, it doesn't hurt me one bit. And so I'm okay with custom soundtracks. And that's what they can do right now, is that people can do that and they just turn down the orchestral audio and then they can just turn on their custom soundtrack from Spotify. And SJ100 Matt says, yeah, nothing seems to be integrated with the games itself. That's why they chose the word background music and not custom music. So I'm sure that we'll have more people talking about that. Like I said, I do kind of want to get through this stuff and then take some calls from you guys. So VR stuff, obviously, you know, I'm going to have to talk about the virtual reality that's going to go. That's basically blowing up right now. The first thing that kind of happened was Bethesda's doing VR. And this is kind of funny watching the people that have not been following VR as long, because some of them got really upset about this, and I'm going to explain why. So Bethesda's doing VR, and they were like, hey, he didn't see that coming, did you? And I'm like, I know what you mean. A lot of people didn't get that reference. So they're actually going to be coming out with a Doom experience. So not the game Doom, but they're coming out with a Doom experience, so you can walk around in one of the hellish environments in Doom, as well as being able to play Fallout 4 in VR. They're actually going to, instead of just modding and like sending the inputs, sending the monitor data to the Rift, like which is what a lot of people do with Skyrim right now, they're actually developing a version of Fallout 4 that works in VR and is made for VR, and they've actually said, this is all coming to the HTC Vive platform, and this is where people who haven't been following the industry are scratching their heads, and they're like, wait a minute. Don't forget about us. We're Oculus. We're Oculus fans. Why are you making it for the HTC Vive? Like, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? Now, he didn't say it was exclusive to HTC Vive. He just said it was coming to the HTC Vive platform. that's an important distinction because a lot of people forget because there is an exclusive format war right now going on because Oculus is paying developers to have their games be exclusive to Oculus hardware for a time period. So, like, I don't know if it's 6 months or a year or whatever like that. And if you do that, they actually are doing things to block people from running them on the HTC Vive. And you can't sell your game on Steam that has the HTC Vive until your exclusive contract is up. And Oculus pays a lot of money for that, and they're funding all these indie developers, which is great for the developers, but it kind of sucks for the medium. So there's a lot of Oculus exclusives out there, and people don't realize there is no such thing as an HTC Vive exclusive because all HTC Vive games automatically work on the Oculus Rift. Now, Oculus doesn't have motion controllers yet. So if you don't have motion controllers and the game requires motion controllers, you're not going to be able to actually play it. But it'll run, and you can look around. You just can't do anything. When the Oculus Touch controllers come out, though, all those games will work. Because they're doing some, you know, they're with hopefully minimal involvement from the developer. The developer may have to change one or two things. So there's no such thing as a Vive exclusive. Because the HTC Vive, it's running off of Steam VR, which actually has Oculus support, HTC Vive support, and they will support any other headset. I know OSVR, the open source VR project, they've got a new headset coming, and Valve has said, yeah, we'll support it in Steam VR. So anything you buy on Steam that uses Steam VR will work on the OSVR headset. And they actually integrate with the native SDKs and all the native stuff, so you're actually getting like the asynchronous time warp on the Rift and the other goodies. So they said it's coming out for HTC Vive, but Oculus players are going to be able to play it. It's just they're not going to buy it on Oculus Home. The reason for that is they don't remember that there is currently an ongoing lawsuit between ZeniMax and Oculus. ZeniMax, because ZeniMax owns Bethesda, but they also own id Software, which is where John Carmack came from. John Carmack started working on VR for ZeniMax. And when he left to Oculus, he took his knowledge to Oculus, and ZeniMax says, no, that was ours. He had no right to take his knowledge. So that's why Bethesda's like, we're doing VR. Aren't you surprised? Because they are currently in a huge lawsuit. Facebook tried to get it thrown out of court. The judge denied it. And Mark Zuckerberg is actually being called to testify in that case. And so that's where we sit right now. SJ1R Matt says, E3, where devs use clever trickery to mislead consumers who don't read between the lines. My favorite example of that is when Sony, when they were like dropping all the truth bombs about how you can play, you can rent games on the PS4 and you can trade games on the PS4, and they weren't blocking used games, and everybody was going nuts. And like 2 minutes later, they announced that you had to pay for multiplayer gaming on the PS4, which it was free on the PS3. And people argued with me for days saying, no, Sony would never do that. It's going to be you can play a multiplayer for free on a PS4. Sony would never make you pay. They make you pay for it now. Masterful. So PlayStation VR, they announced a lot of stuff, lots of experiences and games coming out for it. They said 50 in the launch window. They actually moved up the release date. It was supposed to be coming out, I think, October 30th. They moved it up to October 13th, which is earlier than they initially stated. I know this because Amazon sent me an updated email saying it's going to be getting to you sooner than we thought. So they're going to have 50 games for that. There's like a Final Fantasy 15 experience that you can get if you get 15. And a bunch of other neat experiences that they showed. They said there's going to be 50 within the launch window of PlayStation VR. It's going to be $399. It is basically the same type of tech in terms of the screens as the second developer kit of the Oculus Rift. So it's basically a dev kit too, with the PlayStation Move controllers and tracking system with the PlayStation camera. So that's what you're getting, and that's why it's $399. It's because it's not... It's Dev Kit 2 level, which the Oculus Rift Dev Kit 2 was $350. So that's why they were able to get the price down. It's still going to be, I hope, really good for consumers. I'm looking forward to it, and I think it's going to be a great entry point for consumers to get into VR without having to buy an $600 to $800 setup with a $1,000 PC rig. I think this is going to be great. So, and the Dev Kit 2 on the Oculus Rift was very impressive. So it's going to be a great experience, and I'm looking forward to actually getting my hands on it in October. They're doing a tour, and so I may go try to check out the tour. It's in Atlanta in the next couple weeks. may go try to check it out there. And also, they did not mention that you need a new PS4 to play PlayStation VR games, even though everybody in the world's telling me, oh no, you're going to have to get that new PS4 to play PSVR. Everybody said that except Sony. And so everybody's like convinced. I don't know if this is like a Mandela effect or something, and you should go look that up if you don't know what the Mandela effect is. But everybody insists that Sony announced at some point that you're going to need a new PS4 to play PlayStation VR. And that is not the case. Yet. SJ1R Matt says, I didn't see too many things using any Move controller integration, which concerns me a little bit. To be fair, the Move technology is integrated into the headset. That's why the lights are there. So it is the same technology that is in the Move controllers. But remember, the DualShock 4 has the light sensor from the Move as well in it. So it's going to be using the Move technology no matter what. So in terms of games, I do want to kind of run down a couple of games. And I want to say this, okay? This is me. I cried. And not because of the I'll tell you, I'm actually going to read these because I know everybody's going to cry on October 26th of this year. Because October 25th, The Last Guardian finally comes out on Sony, on the PS4. Finally, we get that. And the reason I say is because you know. I mean, I don't know, but we know. We know that everybody's going to be crying ugly tears on probably on the 25th or maybe the 26th, if it takes you another day. Because you know how that's ending. We all know how that's ending. Ugly tears will be shed on October 26th. Very ugly tears. We all know how The Last Guardian's going to end. And it's not going to be happy. Vive Murderface says, can someone tell me what the hype is about beyond that? Because I have no clue what everyone is losing their crap over. And I changed one of the words in there. Guess which one. So The Last Guardian, it is the next game from the people that made Ico and Shadow of the Colossus. And those were very, for the right segment of audience, those were very critically acclaimed games. And a lot of people loved those games and just the way that they told the story. And so this is the next game from Ico and Shadow of the Colossus creator. So if you didn't like Ico and Shadow of the Colossus, you probably won't like Last Guardian either. But if you like those, this is the next highly anticipated. And we've been highly anticipating it for like 6 or 7 or 8 years or something like that. I think it was a PS3 game originally. That's how long we've been waiting for it. And ActDev says, I wonder if people would be angry if Last Guardian actually delivers a totally happy Live Forever After ending. I would laugh. I would be so happy because that troll me would be so excited about that. So here's why I cried during the presser, during Sony's presser. So they showed all these VR games. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Then they showed this game where you go in, you're in this fighter spacecraft. And you go out and there's this big, huge battle going on. I thought it was Eve Valkyrie. I was like, oh, this looks like Eve Valkyrie. Big, huge space battle, like awesome space battle, huge ships, and everybody's battling. And they're like, okay, we need to storm that. We need to storm that carrier. And I'm like, yeah, this kind of looks like Eve Valkyrie a little bit. Because it was in the VR segment, and they didn't really transition out of it. And I know Eve Valkyrie is a PSVR launch title. So they go, and then he gets out of the cockpit, and he weightlessly goes into this big space carrier. And they go in, and then this huge firefight on the space carrier. And I'm like, this is awesome! I can't believe that this is awesome. And I'm like, I want, who's making this game? This is, because this ain't Eve Valkyrie, because you can't get out of your ship in Eve Valkyrie. I've played it. I've got it on the Rift. And I'm like, this is great. And like, it goes through, and I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is amazing. Screen goes blank. Call of Duty. Sony freaking made me want a Call of Duty game. And I cried, because I'm like, no, I can't. I can't have wanted a Call of Duty game. They were very, like, Sony is so masterful because they knew that if they had said it was Call of Duty before they showed it, that people would have had this preconceived notion and would have hated it. But because they didn't tell you what it was, I was like, I want this, I want this. And then Call of Duty showed up on the screen. I'm like, I don't want this anymore. But it was awesome. And ActF says, Black Wolf is a filthy casual. I, I might have to be a cult. I might have to be a filthy casual in November. I feel dirty saying that, but I might have to be a filthy casual in November. The apocalypse is confirmed, said Wyland. That's right. I can't believe I want a Call of Duty game. The last game I kind of want to really just bring up first, because it's kind of funny watching the reaction to this. Ubisoft actually did show Star Trek Bridge Crew. They showed the demo of, or the video of it with all the Star Trek actors. Rest in peace to, and I can't remember his to Anton. I forget his last name, but he passed away today. He played Chekhov in the new series. And it was a freak accident today, since we're talking about Star Trek. Condolences to his family and friends. Anton Yelchin is how I think how you pronounce it. Anyway, sorry about that. Breaking news a couple hours ago is when that happened. So, yeah. Star Trek Bridge Crew came out, and everybody's like, this is the thing that got me about it. It's going to be awesome. They were using the Oculus Touch controllers to control everything, which is going to be kind of weird, because you're going to want to like press buttons, and it's kind of hard to do that in the touch controllers, or in any controllers really. It's going to be a little bit awkward to try to do that. But that being said, everybody's like, this is such a refreshing and new concept that nobody's ever seen in gaming before. I have actually seen people say that, and I'm like, let me educate you about Artemis Bridge Simulator. Because Star Trek Bridge Crew is literally an online virtual reality version of Artemis with the actual Star Trek license that Artemis should have had. So everybody's like, oh, this looks like, you know, a Second Life Star Trek game. No, it's Artemis, which is cool. Like, I'm glad that Ubisoft is doing it, and I hope they do a great job. But don't call it something completely fresh and new that we've never seen before, because Artemis does a really good job. But with Artemis, you're all forced to be in the same room, because the way it's designed is to be a part video game, part live-action role-playing game. That's how Artemis is designed. This basically turns it into an online video game, which is great, because there is a call for people have wanted Artemis to become an online video game and not a in-person live-action role-playing game. So this is great. I'm not knocking it. I'm looking forward to trying it. I would love to play it. But it is Artemis with the Star Trek license and a bigger budget. Because Artemis is like the indiest of indie games. Like, it's like one dude. And that's it. And SJ Wintermat says, Artemis is legit, but a lot more intricate than this Trek experience. This is basically, if Artemis is EverQuest, then Star Trek Bridge Crew is going to be World of Warcraft. Let's put it that way. It's Blizzardifying the bridge simulator genre, which could be great for the genre, to be honest. So yeah, so I'm looking forward to it, but it is not an innovative product. It is definitely just like something else that's been out there. To register participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Blackwolf Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase dance. So here's what I'm going to do, because I know that we've had a lot of people that want to call in and talk and stuff. I usually do a quick music break, but I'm going to try. We might still do a music break if nobody calls, just to stretch that time out. But I'm not going to do a quick music break. I actually open up the phone lines. They're open now. So Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. Go ahead and we can give me a call, and we can talk about what you enjoyed at E3. Or what you saw of E3, you might have actually seen more than I did. I still had to work this week, so I didn't get to like just sit and watch Twitch or watch YouTube videos all day. I didn't take any time off from work this year. In fact, I had other stuff going on during some of the press conferences, so I didn't even see all the press conferences. So you tell me what you liked, because you probably, like, I didn't see anything about the Pokemon stuff. But I know the Pokemon stuff was out there. What are you looking forward to? What excited you? I want to concentrate more on what excited you and not really what disappointed you. So we do have our first caller on the line. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, it's Sturlock.
Sturlock, what's up, man?
Not too much.
So what did you think of this week?
It was pretty interesting, actually. My big thing that I was really excited about Unfortunately, it's digital only, but Nintendo ninja-ing the release of Rhythm Heaven Megamix.
I heard a little bit about this, so it's like they released it. Was it just a demo, or did they release the entire game?
They released the entire game.
Okay.
And a demo, which is pretty cool.
But digital only.
Yeah, unfortunately. Unfortunately for me, because that means I'm going to have to get help downloading it, which is also going to necessitate me buying a new 3DS at some point, because mine's kind of busted a little bit. So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's pretty awesome. It's basically a massive tribute to the series as a whole. It's got 70 games from the last three.
So games. For people who don't know what Rhythm Heaven is, what is, how does it play, what is it?
Rhythm Heaven is basically like think like WarioWare, but with like rhythm games and really, really good music because of it. It's actually made by, I believe, the same team that made the WarioWare games. So, and you're basically, you know, following, you know, rhythm type stuff. You know, obviously, to the beat of the music of, of the game.
Was Rhythm Thief a part of this series, or is that a Sega series?
Okay. That's it. I think that was a Sega thing, actually.
Okay. Because I know that was out on 3DS as well.
I was really interested in that when I first heard about it, and then I looked into it, and I was like, oh, it's like, there's stuff in there that would make it not playable for me, unfortunately. Right. But
so anything else to come out this, or anything else announced this week that you're excited about?
It's nothing that I can play, but We Happy Few looks amazing.
Yeah. That was weird.
A cool premise that is.
Yeah, no, and I remember seeing, I think it was PAX East, not this year because I didn't go this year, but last year. Maybe, I know SJ Winter Matt was also there, so correct me if I'm wrong. I believe We Happy Few was there, and it was a different game, it seemed. Like, it was the darling of the show floor. But it seemed like a different game then, and like it's a lot more polished now.
That's cool.
Because I think it was more you're just trying not to get seen. I mean, it was still had like the whole joy and you know the downer mechanic and stuff, but like the story wasn't fleshed out at all.
I like the whole like you know it's basically like a what if like you know kind of like you know the Nazis won and
right.
It just looks really interesting. I'm intrigued to see more of it.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I know that some people got turned off because of, like, the animal cruelty that's in it.
Yeah.
And stuff. And so I know some people that already checked out.
Yeah.
Which they're prerogative. I mean,
that's fine.
Yeah.
Whatever.
You know, that's the story that they want to tell.
I mean, I checked out a Homefront because of the original Homefront because of something that happened in it with with a child, like 10 minutes into it, and I'm just like, nope, I can't do it.
Yeah.
So I completely understand that.
Yep. So anything else?
Zelda is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, like, I think it's definitely going to be one of those, like, polarizing experiences. Like,
they're
people
all going to be polarizing.
Yeah. So it looks.
And what's funny is, like, I mean, I know that this doesn't mean too much to you specifically, but, like, when I was talking about it with somebody, they're like, yeah, the graphics are terrible in it. I'm like, really? Yeah.
Everybody else I heard talk about it said the graphics were absolutely amazing.
Well, they're Wii U graphics.
Oh,
and
well.
The Wii U is not as up on as Xbox One and PS. Well, apparently this person did.
Yeah, well.
And he's like, well, you know, if you're a big company, you shouldn't be having graphics from last generation and blah, 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 blah,
yeah.
And stuff. So it was kind of interesting to hear him say that. I'm like, we must have watched different footage.
Yeah.
Because
it seemed cool. And
It's stylized. They're going for an anime style, yeah. And I think there is a segment of the population that's like, it's either photorealistic or you're crap.
I know people who can't stand anything even remotely resembling anime. So.
Right.
But they did some really interesting things with like the sound design and stuff too. Like, I had to do a double take when I heard voice acting.
Yeah, and
like,
I think
for the first time ever in a Zelda game, like, what is this?
Right.
Like,
other than hey and listen.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think Link's still silent, isn't he?
Link is still silent, yeah.
Right.
But it just kind of makes me wonder is that character the only character that's going to have voice acting, or is like the whole game going to be like that?
I'm
kind of curious about that.
Yeah. Huh. They're keeping some surprise. They show a 90-minute demo, and they're like, yeah, that wasn't even like 1%.
Yeah.
Of the demo. And like they were only letting people around one thing. And the press couldn't even make it all, like, couldn't see everything in the 90 minutes in that one little area that they let him in.
That's crazy.
So.
I don't know. I was a little disappointed that, like, they're kind of dialing back the music a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
There's not much of it, it sounds like. Or, I don't know. Like,
I mean, they still have, like, almost an entire year.
Yeah.
So he could still be working on music.
But it's gonna be good. I have faith that it will be good. It'll be a good story. Skyward Sword is right now my favorite Zelda game, just because of I really really like the story of it, and the soundtrack is just absolutely amazing.
Yep.
But
all right. Yeah. I appreciate your call, man.
Yep.
Always good to hear from you.
All right. See you, man.
See ya. ActDev says, people had frame rate issues with Zelda at E3. Hopefully it gets fixed. I don't read into that because it is a debug version running on debug hardware. And, I can tell you that the original Halo on the original Xbox crashed at E3 on me and had frame rate issues, and it was fine when it came out. We have another call. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, what's up, Bobby? This is Kaijudo.
Kaijudo, what's up, man?
Not much. First, I just wanted to say, I think you said it was your work friend that said that that Zelda looked kind of crappy.
Yeah.
The graphics wise, and I agree with him. I wouldn't necessarily say crap, but
he did.
The graphics didn't wow me. Like I already knew what type of graphics to expect from the Wii U, so I wasn't expecting it to be, graphically beautiful or whatever. I'm not the type of gamer that I love to play photorealistic. I mean, one of my favorite games is Minecraft, so I don't go for that. I just remember seeing the graphics and not being impressed, but really impressed with the game itself.
Right.
The graphics didn't do anything for me.
And that's what I kind of told him. I'm like, you know what? I'm playing a game to play the game, not necessarily just look at it. And he's one of the type of people that's like, I need both.
Yeah. I just love the freedom in it. One of the demonstrations that I saw, the young woman that was playing it, she went into like some type of a castle or cave or something, and she had to like lift these really heavy doors with something, and there was like some type of monster that came at her, and she was using that to like block the attacks from the monster. She made it clear that this is what I decided to do, but you can tackle this in another way. You don't necessarily have to do this the way that I'm doing. I thought that was cool because I love when games do that. I remember when I first played, I think it was Skyrim.
Right.
And I killed the guy. And you know how when you kill someone, you can like pick up their bodies?
Yeah.
So I killed the guy, and I remember I used him as like a human shield when some guys were shooting arrows at me. I was like walking through the stream and just holding the guy up and letting him take the fire. And I'm like, this is cool because, this isn't like a game mechanic. You know, this is something that you can decide to do.
Right.
So that was good. But speaking of freedom in games, because that's what I love mostly about games. I was trying to find a name while you were on the call, but I couldn't find a name. But I was listening to some guys on Twitch. They call themselves Easy Allies.
Okay.
I think they spell it like Easy and then Allies.
All right.
And they were talking about this medieval game. And from what I understand from this game, I mean, you have – this is probably like one of the biggest games with all types of like freedom. You know, like you can basically do whatever you want. It's almost like a sandbox, but it does have a story for people who want to play stories. But the way they were describing this game, man, it feels like a real D&D experience. You know, like a lot of people, they don't get into a lot of RPG games because they love the freedom of D&D. You know, like because D&D, you can come up with your own ideas to tackle something. you're going to have to play with a game mechanic. So this game sounds a lot like that. Like, they were one of the missions that he explained was he had to get some information from a monk. Mm-hmm. And he went into this church, and he had a decision to make. He could just kill everyone in the church and get the information from the monk, or he can disguise himself as a monk. He decided to disguise himself as a monk, and when he did that, he actually had to live the life of a monk for, like, 6 days in game time.
Oh, wow.
So, like, you know, like, you're literally, like, walking around in this church, you know, doing whatever you're supposed to do as a monk, talking with people, and I don't know how you would give yourself away, but according to what he said that there were ways that, like, you could slip up as a monk, and if they found you out, they will come after you and try to kill you. And it's the same type of situation if you killed everyone in the church. If somebody was around and they saw you, they would report it back to the village or something, and then you would have people come after you that way. And then there's other cases where you can do crazy stuff, and as long as no one saw you, you can get away with it. But if someone did see you, you can't. Like, one of the things he mentioned was he fought in an arena. He said what he decided to do was he betted against himself, and then he threw the match just to make money because he needed money to do something or another. So it just seems like it's a game that you can do a lot of stuff. It also has VR in it too. So
is it now? Some people in chat are asking, is this For Honor? Was that the name of the game?
I think that is the game. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because
that game. Yeah.
Because some people are like, oh, it sounds like For Honor. No, wait, it doesn't sound like For Honor anymore. But I guess it is. We'll find out.
Yeah, I mean, the way they described it, man, I'm like, I think they said he was been working on it for like 6 years now.
Oh, wow.
And they've been playing like an early build of it for a while, and they say that it's not quite done yet, but it's like it's getting close, you know? So I can't wait to get that, of course.
Yeah.
Pokemon and Watch Dogs 2. I was really impressed by that trailer, Watch Dogs 2. I know a lot of people were kind of bashing it, and it wasn't that great, but I thought it was great. I had a lot of fun watching that trailer.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for your call, man. I appreciate it.
No problem.
See, I'll say one last call. Let's see if anybody else wants to call in. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1. Toll free in North America. There it is. We do have one last call for the E3 show. Bobby Blackwell Show, you're on the air. Who is this?
Hey, this is ActDef.
ActDef, what's up, man?
Well, I was going to talk about some, the Xbox or Microsoft mm-hmm. conference, but like you said, we should talk about the things we like
yes.
or the things that excited us.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, I applaud, well, Sony and Capcom for this, mm-hmm. Resident Evil 7.
Yeah. Yeah, demo for that dropped, right?
Yeah. I haven't tried it because, well, I don't have a PS4, but... Mm-hmm. I was watching the game, and at first it seemed like Resident Evil, and it was like, oh my god, this looks like something like PT.
Mm-hmm.
I even said to someone, oh my god, this is probably Hideo Kojima's game that's mm-hmm. is going to announce. Mm-hmm. It wasn't it, but when the title dropped, mm-hmm. and some of the game footage it started to appear. I was like amazed mm-hmm. that finally Capcom understood that at least the gameplay from 5 and 6 were awful.
Mm-hmm.
It was awful. They tried to replicate 4, and I don't like 4 even, but
right.
I understand why it's a great game. But I don't like 4, and 5 and 6 were a disaster. So seeing that Resident Evil is going back somewhat to its roots and trying new things, I'm really, really excited for this game. And especially because I think the writer for the first Fear game, F-E-A-R, and Specs Ops the Line, those games have pretty amazing stories.
Yeah.
They're pretty amazing. And seeing that the writer for those games is working also on Resident Evil 7 is the game is pretty much a must buy for me right now.
Cool.
And
yeah.
hopefully the VR is going to be amazing too.
Right. Yeah. And I am noping out of that VR right now. You're not going to get a review. I'm not even playing the regular game. I don't like those games. But I'm glad other people do and will enjoy them.
Yeah, so. It's totally understandable.
And while since we brought up Sony and stuff, can we not appreciate whoever the art director was for the Sony press conference with how they had Hideo Kojima show up on stage? Just like, I'm always impressed with just their stage direction and the what they do. Like, most people you ever are looking at the games and the trailers and all that stuff, but like what they did with the stage lights and stuff to have Kojima like come down from heaven or whatever they were having him come down from. Can we just not like give a little bit of a round of applause to the stage direction there? Thank you.
Yeah, that moment was probably the best moment of E3.
Yeah,
seeing Kojima happy. He was happy to be there. He was like glad that, oh my god, I'm working on this game. I want to work. I'm going to finally announce it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm pretty happy for the guy. Yeah, I'm also looking forward to what Death Stranding has to offer. But yeah, that was a pretty great moment of this E3.
All right, thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So that is it. Coming up next here on the Voice Geeks Network at VogueNetwork.com, it's Orange Lounge Radio. Three people in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for much, much longer than I do. And I know they've got a lot to say about E3. So we're going to have them go ahead and start talking about it. Sacramento, you guys there?
We are here, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing good. We can hear you on the first try this time.
Hooray. It's not all falling apart like it was last week.
I know. It's because gamers won E3.
So we're all just winning. Yes.
So we're all just winning right now.
Although I don't know if you go on Twitter, you'll still find a bunch of angry people angry about something.
I am ignoring them for right now.
Good call.
Now I actually wanted it because I know that we basically kind of sit in our vantage point of the press conferences was watching them on Twitch, and I want to call out something that happened at the press conferences that not many people call out except in the moment. And now that we are several days away, I want to call this out. The director of the broadcast, okay, for almost all of the press conferences, the director of the broadcast sometimes decided that looking at their expensive stage setup or looking at the people in the audience was a little bit more important than the game being played.
Right.
Or the trailers being shown. And there was one egregious offense in Sony where a guy came out and the crowd went nuts. And the broadcast director is basically just showing the crowd going nuts, reacting to something on the screen, and we had no clue what was on the screen. It wound up being, I think, Crash Bandicoot or something.
Correct. Yeah, was the Crash Bandicoot.
And I was like, what are they cheering about? And then they never showed the screen. But I will say, when Sony opened their press conference with God of War Father of the Year Edition, happy Father's Day, everybody, by the way, they actually had the gameplay in a huge box, and then they actually had three other smaller boxes showing their stage setup, showing the lights, showing the guy playing the game, and that was perfect, and then they never did it again for the rest of the show.
It was the perfect television made of little televisions.
Yeah. But, I mean, they spend so much money, and, I mean, you've been to a Sony press conference, so you know, like, how much they spend on the ambiance in the room.
Correct.
And how they, like, time all the lights with all the trailers. It's not just showing on a movie screen. They've got so much other stuff going on.
Well, and this year an orchestra, which was part of the reason for the changed venue, because I noticed it wasn't their usual venue either.
Right. So they want to show that, and that's great, but, you know, and they were able to, they found one way that they could show all that all on the same screen and give everybody that, and then they didn't do it anymore. But I think more broadcast directors need to do what they did for God of Father and Father of War. I think more people need to do that in their press conferences because I don't care about the press's reaction because really there should be no cheering from the press box anyway.
Or especially in this day and age of, you know, like you said, everybody consuming it on Twitch from their own computers, let people be their own broadcast director. Let people pick the camera angle they want to look at.
Yeah. So anyway, I wanted to call out that Sony did it really good for about 50 or really well. I better fix my grammar. Did it really well for 15 minutes, and then everybody else screwed it up for the rest of the time. So what's hot takes from E3? Gamers won E3, or did somebody else win E3?
I do think gamers won. I think there's a lot to look forward to, but it does feel like a really kind of, I don't know, it does feel like this year just isn't going to be as good as next year, even though these are feelings that we feel quite often. And that's not just the NX, but that has to do with, you know, Microsoft kind of teasing the Scorpio thing as well. And you know there's something kind of lingering around with Sony and what the future's going to look like for them. So in some ways, this did feel very much like a transitional year. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad to see that a lot of the stuff we did see, at least, was this year. I was very, very, very happy. And I'd actually said on the last show, I said, Sony needs to date something for this holiday, and they need to date something huge that they built a lot of anticipation for. And the most likely candidate seems to be The Last Guardian. I said that on the last OLR, and I was very happy that that ended up being true. Because I think, and not just, you know, patting myself on the back, I swear, but just that whole fact that, you know, Sony's been making a lot of big promises to gamer, and it's kind of time to pay up, so to speak. So I'm glad to see that's happening, and hopefully that's a good sign that we're going to continue a slow drip of a lot of these big titles they've built up anticipation for in the coming years out of Sony. Out of Microsoft, I mean, like you, I'm all about Forza Horizon, so gimme. But I'm still not understanding the logic behind announcing a new mini Xbox just to turn around and say, but next year there'll be a better one. Because if anybody asks me if they should get an Xbox One, I'm going to tell them no. I'm going to say, unless there's something but you have to or need to play right now, don't buy it.
When they keep talking about the Scorpio, they keep playing it down. Like, so is it going to be able to have better frame rates than the Xbox One? No, we anticipate that they're going to be the same. So it's basically, this is only for 4K, which I think it's kind of silly, because that's the reason.
They sure
it's not. I'm sure it's not.
They sure built up those teraflops for something. I understand that a lot of the stuff will be cross-functional between the Xbox One and whatever this future system is. I mean, we have to, as gamers, well, I guess we don't have to, but we are being encouraged to think the way we think about our mobile phones. Mm-hmm. That, you know, your apps will work on iPhone 5, but they'll work even better on iPhone 6. You know, that type of thing.
Yeah, so no, I wouldn't tell. I mean, actually, I'd tell people, hey, just buy a Windows 10 PC and just upgrade it.
Yeah.
At that point. And that's why a lot of people, like, I remember, because, I mean, I follow some people on Twitter that, you know, they're other podcasters and stuff, and they got rid of their Xbox One because they saw this coming.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, why should I have an Xbox One if I can get a Windows 10 PC, play all the great PC games, and play all the great Xbox One games? They're abandoning the console market.
You know, and I have to admit, it's not like a perspective I can immediately jump up and challenge. I think there's still, you know, reasons to own an Xbox One, but I can't exactly say that's a horrible way of thinking or anything like that.
Yeah.
And also with Nintendo, real quick, I'm very happy that they did have a little more than just Zelda to show. I mean, we knew we were going to get the Pokemon Go and the Pokemon and some of the other stuff, but, you know, especially with their stealth release of Rhythm Heaven, as one of your previous callers mentioned, and some of the other things, I was glad that there was at least a little more than Zelda. Even if I am very excited about Zelda, again, this feels like a very transitional year, because I'm not hyped about Zelda on the Wii U when I know there's a bigger, badder, more terafloppy NX version coming.
Long story short, I'm kind of glad I stayed home this week.
Same. I mean, I'm glad to hear. I know you were a lot more attached to E3 than I was in some respect, because you had the history and so forth, you know, and you had a streak you didn't really want to break for a while. But I'm kind of happy to feel a little bit vindicated that I do think we did make the right decision to not continue to cover E3 in the way we were attempting to.
Right.
I feel like I've gotten a lot more out of these littler cons. There's still a lot of interesting things about E3, but I do want to mention real quick, and then I know we're going to go. And we have a story about this on our show tonight, too, about the attendance numbers for E3, and they're really making it sound like more people went to E3 than ever before. Well, you got to read between the lines on that, because I think less people went to E3, certainly, than did in 2006. That's for sure.
Yeah, 2006, they had a lot, because also Kensha Hall, I think, still existed in 2006.
That is true.
So they could allow more people in. They actually have to cap it a little bit lower because Kensha Hall doesn't exist anymore, so there's less places to put people. But I think it was, like what they said, 70,000 came this year?
Yes, but 20,000 of those were at the event next door.
Yeah, and I think it was like 80,000 came to E3 2006.
I was going to say, so are they counting the EA event that was next door?
No, ESA.
Oh, the other event that was next
door. No, the other, the last minute thing they ended up, the Dorito event they did next door, so, which I'm not hearing a lot of anything about, interestingly enough.
The only thing I know about the Dorito event is that I got to say, you know, as much as a lot of people give Jeff Keighley a lot of crap,
mm-hmm.
he actually tweeted a picture of the Dorito arcade, and he's like, the Vatican has arrived. And I'm like, he proves he has a sense of humor.
He does have a sense of humor about that stuff, which is good. You have to have a thick skin to a games journalist in this day and age.
Yep. All right. So you guys are going to talk a lot more about E3, I guess.
Absolutely will. And we have a longtime fan of ours in the house. Misty from St. Louis is all the way here in studio tonight.
Cool.
Hey, buddy.
Hi, Misty. So all E3 all night, right?
Maybe, but there was some things that kind of happened outside E3. Did you know Apple dropped some big stuff too? As they tend to do right in the middle of E3 week when a lot of people are paying attention elsewhere. And there was a little nugget in there about iOS 10 that could really impact gamers. So, we'll be giving that a shout.
All right. So it's not just E3. It's E3 for only 4.5 hours and iOS for the other 30 minutes.
Something like that.
5 hour show tonight.
Yeah, 50, actually. We're going to be here till Tuesday.
Sweet! Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much.
Opening up for Anime Jam Session. Have a good one.
See ya. So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the Voice of Geeks Network at vognetwork.com. Catch us live. Interact with the show directly. Leave me a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper for use in the show on the toll-free number 1-888-36-GAME-1. Email me an MP3 to bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com. Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf or Twitter @BobbyBlackWolf. That's me. I actually posted pictures. I found all my VCR Clue and VCR California games, the old board games. Found them in a closet in my childhood home this weekend. I put pictures up there so you can marvel at their dustiness. So you can find me there. And if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the wonderful chatters. So thank you very much, Dark Tetsuya, Dark Sakura, DC Nate, Hecht, Ronma, Sky, Burr, Doomplague, Fifth Dream, Havoc978, Tiger Claw, Act Deft, Alan Alchemy, Alphican Anagram, Alt, Bacon Bits, Brad from Pod Culture, DeBlue Guy, Dungeon Buster, Eric RPG, Eswat, Fluke, Hitstun, Kaijudo, Kazin, Matt Cube, MXC, MXT, Oculus, Oculus Man, he wants to drink twice, Breakman does. Point, Raginator, SJ100, Matt, Stoppy, Toagak, USS Rover, Vive, Murderface, VXJ6V, Wyland, and Zeba. So that is it for me. Let's see, I did not do the music break, so I skip over the music break again. Someday I'm going to play the boss battle from Final Fantasy XII in the music break. Had it in the queue for a month. Maybe next week we'll get to play it. See you next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the Vogue Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.